I don't know if anyone else has ever been in that situation, but you are going to leave the house. And whether you picture yourself as the mother or the daughter in this situation, your mother goes, "Put on a coat. It's cold outside." And you say, "But I'm not cold." And your mother says, "I don't care. It's cold outside. Put on a coat." And you say, "I'm just running to the car. It doesn't make a difference. Why do I need to put on my coat?" And your mother says, "I am your mother. Put on a coat because I said to put on a coat." You're like, "Okay, fine. I guess I will put on my coat." The question that we are going to approach today is, when you decided to ultimately put on your coat, were you obligated to do so because of Kibbutz Avayim? And on the flip side, once you already did it, were you mekayim the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim? So there are going to be two different ways to approach this. Were you obligated to do so? And then what was the outcome if you already did so? So we're going to be approaching questions like this of, what happens if Kibbutz Avayim has no direct benefit to your parents? That they have an opinion about something or they tell you to do something, but it's not directly beneficial to them. Yes, your mother might say, "I will only have peace of mind if I know that my daughter is outside nice and warm." She really is not getting any direct benefit from having you put on your coat. So the question today again is, what is the halacha in regards to Kibbutz Avayim when your parents receive no direct benefit? So we are going to start with a Gemara in Masechet Yevamot. The Gemara is a little bit confusing, so I broke it down into steps, and we're really going to go through it piece by piece because this is going to be the basis of our argument. But just to be totally straightforward and honest, the piece that we are going to pick up on for the rest of our halachic decision doesn't come until what seems like a side comment at the end of the Gemara. So let's go through it, and we'll try to understand the basis of this discussion. D'tanya, yachol yehei kibbutz avayim docha Shabbos. The Gemara is talking about whether a positive commandment is able to override a negative commandment. So the question that's asked here in the Gemara is, yachol yehei kibbutz avayim docha Shabbos. Is it possible that the mitzvah of kibbutz avayim could be docha Shabbos, could override Shabbos? So if your parents say to you, "I want you to go and turn on that light for me on Shabbos," is the positive commandment of Kibbutz Avayim able to override the negative commandment of not turning on lights on Shabbos? Talmud Lomar, we learn in the Torah, Ishimova Aviv Tira'u, that a man should respect his parents, the Etchap Totai Tishmoru, and you should keep Shabbos, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Kulchem Chayavim Bichlodi. So Rashi explains there and says, everyone is obligated to honor Hashem. And therefore, the reason that it is juxtaposed in the Pasuk, respecting our parents with keeping Shabbos, is to teach us that while we have a commandment to respect our parents, both you and your parents are obligated in Kibbutz Avayim and in keeping Shabbos. And therefore, since you are both obligated in keeping Shabbos, your parents are not able to tell you, even though they are your parents, to not keep Shabbos. And that is why the pasuk ends off, Ani Hashem, you are all obligated to respect and honor me. You are all obligated to keep my mitzvot. And therefore, when it comes to a case where your parents are telling you to contradict me, my word, me Hashem, you do not have to listen to them. My lav de amar le shchot le b'sheli v'tamadich tav rachmana et shabtotai tishmuru. So the Gemara says, well, you might think from here that it's really only talking about situations where it's an iser kari, like a direct prohibition on Shabbos, like shecht something for me or cook something for me. And if your parents are telling you something as intense as something that could be punishable with karis, then of course Kibbutz Avayim would not override it. However, the Gemara goes on and says, no, we reject this because it says et shabtotai tishmoru. It says in general, keep Shabbos. It doesn't say only keep the most machmir halachot of Shabbos. It says keep all of the mitzvot of Shabbos. Halav hachi dechi. So you might think for something else. So then you might say, oh, but Shabbos is still really intense. We all know that when it comes down to the basic mitzvot, Shabbos and kashrus, those are still very intense mitzvot. However, we might say for any other mitzvah besides for Shabbos, because the pasuk specifically states Shabbos. And again, this is the way the Gemara works. We are trying to understand whether ideas that are presented are specific pratim, specific details, or whether they are klalim, whether they are rules, whether they're inclusive or exclusive. So at first we said, maybe it's inclusive, but now we're saying maybe it's exclusive. Maybe the pasuk is really only coming to teach us to keep Shabbos, and that any other mitzvahs asay, any other mitzvah lo ta'aseh, that if your parents told you to violate any other negative commandment, you would be able to overrule it. Lav de mechamer. So now it brings up the case of your father tells you to ride on a full donkey, which is an iser. Va'afilu hachi lo dachi. So would we be able to not listen here? Like would we be able to listen to our father in this situation? Elakaimalan da'ati asay. Yes, maybe we can conclude that in this situation, you would have to fulfill the positive commandment and not fulfill the negative commandment. So you could possibly conclude from there that rule, that a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment. But you can also come along and say, Sha'anin lave de Shabbos de Chamire, v'hatana be'almakai, lo kafrich, detanya, yachol amar lo aviv, hayitama. So now we say, no, but what about if your father said to you, I want you to become impure. Osha amar lo al tachzir. Or I want, your father tells you, oh, you found something on the street, don't return it. So things that we think of as relatively small. Like you would say, of course, Shabbos is a big iser, but hashava savita, like, if your father tells you that you should keep something, maybe that would override that you should listen to him and you shouldn't return it. Lo shamar al tachzir yachol yishmalo. So should you be listening to your father? Talmud lomar ishimo va'aviv tira'u ve'etchav tosai tishmoru ani Hashem. We go back to the original pasuk and we say, ishimo va'aviv tira'u, a person should respect his parents, ve'etchav tosai tishmoru, and he should keep Shabbos, ani Hashem. Kulcham chayavim v'chvodi. We come back to the same explanation that you are all obligated to respect me. Ela mishum de'ika lemafrich malahanach shekin hechsher mitzvah. So rather, the Gemara concludes here, and this is going to be the part that we are going to pick up on. What would be the difference in a situation of kibud avim, where your father is telling you, I don't want you to return such and such a thing? It says this isn't even a good example. And the Gemara does continue on from here. Obviously, there is further discussion in the Gemara. But the important point that comes up here is the reason that possibly we don't listen to our father and we make sure to maintain the other commandment that we are faced with. So for example, while we would return the objects and not listen to our father, the Gemara says, because in that situation, listening to your father is only a hechsher mitzvah. It is not a mitzvah in and of itself, because whether or not you return the object makes no difference to your father, that it bears no weight on your father's life, that your father seems to have an opinion, much as your mother telling you to put on a coat. But practically, it doesn't make a difference to him. It doesn't actually affect him whether or not you do what he says. So the Gemara is saying here, therefore, in that situation, in a situation where no direct benefit is given to your father in that situation, then kibud avim there is only considered to be a hechsher mitzvah, not a mitzvah in and of itself. That we are going to bring up that there, as we said before, there are specific criteria for what counts as kibud avim. It is direct actions that affect your father and mother, feeding them, clothing them, giving them what they need, and listening to them would only count as a hechsher mitzvah. It allows you to carry out their will, but it doesn't practically change their lives at all. So the Rashba picks up on this point at the end of the Gemara where it says shechin hechsher mitzvah. And the Rashba says, we skip down to the bottom to the bolded words. No, actually, we can start at the beginning. V'ner'ed divrei Rabbeinu Chananel, shepiresh de'alav de'mechamer kai, kilomar le'olam de'lav de'mechamer. V'daka kashilach, it's reviewing the Gemara, like the back and forth in the Gemara about the iser of moving a donkey. Is it in all Yisurim? V'ligamer mehacha de'lo dachi. So you may have been able to conclude that a positive commandment does not override a negative commandment. Sha'ani hacha de'in bitule ela hechsher mitzvah bilvad. So it says in the Gemara, it was only talking about a situation of what is not overriding something else, a hechsher mitzvah, not a mitzvah in and of itself. Because let's say you are in that situation and your father tells you, I don't want you to return that object. Now you do return the object. It's not like in that exact same moment you would be fulfilling kibud avim. You would be going and doing something for your father. Rather, it is a hechsher mitzvah that you are listening to him, which allows you to respect him. So do we understand the difference here? That the difference between, often when we are in a situation where we say ha'osik ba mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, right? You are in the middle of davening and the opportunity arises to, I don't know, someone walks by who you know is sick. So we would say ha'osik ba mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. You wouldn't stop your davening in order to say hello to the sick person. However, this is different. These are not two mitzvot that are coming about simultaneously. When your father says, I want you to violate Shabbos, he is not saying violate Shabbos. And in that same exact moment, you are fulfilling another mitzvah if you listen to him. We're saying what is before you is a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah to keep Shabbos, and a hechsher mitzvah of kibud avim, something that would allow you to carry out kibud avim. So if you choose to uphold the negative commandment, that you don't violate a negative commandment, in that moment, you are not going to be then fulfilling kibud avim. So we understand the distinction? Yeah? You understand the distinction here? No? No, Doreen's giving me like a half look. We're saying that the opportunity to pass up one mitzvah for another mitzvah has to be simultaneous. So if we were saying that in the same moment, I think the tefillah one is a good one. You have two mitzvot in front of you. There is a sick person in front of you. You could choose to greet them and make them feel better. Or you're in the middle of davening. So we would say, ha'osik ba mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. You are currently davening. Do not stop davening in order to visit this sick person. But what we're saying is that when your parent is telling you to fulfill their word, they're telling you they have an opinion that they want you to listen to, that in and of itself is not kibud avim. We said the strict definition of kibud avim is feeding them, clothing them. You are not fulfilling one of those things by violating this negative commandment. So we wouldn't say you should violate a negative commandment in order to listen to the opinion of your parent. Okay, now we're good? Awesome. Okay, let's move on. So this is the, let's continue on in the Rashba. The ikar, the essence of kibud avim, is something that brings your parents enjoyment. So something that fulfills their needs. When you feed him and when you give him to drink, when you dress him and you put his shoes on. When something is not really impacting your parents' life directly, that is not a direct fulfillment of kibud avim. V'kibud zeh ein bo aseh shel Torah sheyitcha afilu lav gerda. So therefore, in order to fulfill the will of your parents, you would not be able to violate even the most basic of lavim, even the most basic of negative commandments. V'ma she'amru yechol amar lo aviv hayitama, lo l'chinam amru lo sheyitama. Obviously, we understand the Rashba is saying is that when your father tells you to do a negative, to violate a negative commandment, they probably have a reason. So he says, maybe you would say it's a situation where your father says, I want you to become tamei. I want you to go into the Beit HaKvaros. I want you to go into the cemetery and I want you to pick fruits there and I want you to bring it back to me. So you could say, oh, really? You're fulfilling ma'achilo. You're giving him to eat because you became tamei. So in that moment, you might be facing an actual kiyum of kibud avim and an isser of becoming tamei in one moment. And there he says that would be a different situation. This is not the general situation we are talking about. The situation that we are talking about is one where you're really just fulfilling your parents' will. It is not practically fulfilling any aspect of kibud avim. So now the Maharik concludes, as the Rashba did based on this Gemara, that there is no direct obligation of Kibud Avaim if the matter does not directly affect your parents. So, Aval b'milta de lo shayach begave ki hacha pshita de in koach la'avlim chopa ben. The Maharik is actually basing his statement on a very fascinating situation. The Maharik had a situation where there was a son who obviously was very aware of his father's nature. So the son knew he wanted his father to stay with him. So he knew in order to make his father stay by his side, he wanted to keep his father close to him, he had to give his father an important role. So he took a neder, a public neder, that he was only going to marry someone who his father agreed to. That only if his father gave permission was he going to marry this person. However, he knew this was just a scheme in his mind to make his father feel important. So privately, but in front of however many witnesses were necessary, he made a statement that he was not actually going to fulfill this vow, that he didn't want this neder to be kayam. He didn't want this neder to really exist. So what happens? The son, I guess, got so swept off his feet that he met a girl and forgot about this whole plan of his, and he got engaged to the girl. So they carried out the kiddushin. And then the father goes, hey, wait, you told me I have to stick around here all these years in order to give approval to whoever you want to marry. And now you go and you got engaged without me. The father says, I will not allow for you to marry this girl. So now they're stuck. He's already been mekadesh her. You can imagine it's a little more dramatic if we think of it in our terms today, that like this was in the middle of the chuppah. But really, that's not how it happened back then. Like, they did the kiddushin separate from the nisuin. So it was probably not some big grand protest. It was really just a guy stopping something, I don't know, after a regular engagement, imagine.
It wasn't just, because that was very, it was like being married.
Right, exactly. So it meant a lot to them.
It's very serious business.
Yeah, because then you're stuck in this limbo state of kiddushin. So you're betrothed to each other, but you're not yet married, and you can't, yes, it's a very difficult situation.
You can't just walk away.
Right. Today, we're like, oh, that must have happened in a matter of seconds, because the two happen right after each other. But in those times, they did not happen right after each other. So that's the situation that the Maharik brings, that there is this situation that a son does not want to listen to his father. But it seems like the father is really just protesting against who the son will marry. So something that has no direct impact on his life. So the Maharik says, "Aval b'milta de lo shayach begave ki hacha pshita de in koach la'av l'mchopa ben." It says it is clear that in this situation, the father has no right to object to what the son is doing. V'lo mishum kivud v'lo mishum mora. He brings up and he says this would not be a fulfillment of kivud avaim, and it would not be a fulfillment of mora avaim. I want us to store that in the side of our minds, because the idea of the possibility of it fulfilling Mora Avim is going to come up again in a few moments. The Tzitz Eliezer tries to explain the flip side of the argument. He tries to explain that what happens, like we said, when you listen to your mother and you do put on your coat, we are going to say, were you obligated to do that in this situation? And on the other side, did you get a mitzvah if you did listen? Or it's just like, okay, you did a nice thing. So let's see, the Tzitz Eliezer is going to explain that side. B'shelu t'chuvot meshivas nafesh, sham b'siman tatzayin, mechadish midideh begeder chiyav kibra avaim. It gives us a chiddush in the area of kibra avaim, v'kotev ki hadavar barur. And it writes there that the idea is clear. Ki b'midei delo shaya ha'av begave, in mitzvah kibur al haben, v'milchiach zot b'sugiyat hashas. He says, in a situation where there is no impact on the father's life, where it doesn't practically affect the father, there is no mitzvah of kibur on the son, and he proves this from various places in Shas. V'rak mosif kotev, and I would only add to what was written there, d'nehe d'yesh gvul l'chiyav mashi anash k'sheyimana. What we were talking about originally is what is included in the obligation of kibud avaim if you were to not fulfill it. Like, what would be punishable if you didn't forgive it? For example, what are you obligated in? But he says there's always more of a discussion of that, of there's not just basic obligations, but what happens after that? So you may have not been obligated to put your coat on, But what happens if you did put your coat on? Were you fulfilling any sort of mitzvah? And he says, Michol makom, kol sheyosef lechvodo yoter mekabel schar. Anyone who adds on to the respect even more will receive reward for it. Achar shehamelach hakadosh chafetz bikaram. Because we say that Hashem wants the respect of parents. So as we said way back in the beginning, that the ultimate goal of Kibud Avaim is Kibud Shamayim, that we are ultimately trying to respect Hashem, and we are respecting our parents as a intermediary between us and Hashem. They are partners with Hashem. We owe them a tremendous amount of Hakaras HaTov, and therefore Hashem wants us to respect them. So therefore, even though we were not obligated in Kibud Avaim in that situation, we did receive a mitzvah if we did listen to our parents in that situation. So you do receive reward, even though you were not obligated. However, on the other side of the argument, there are certain poskim, like the Sefer HaMikneh, which we see below, that conclude that there is an obligation to listen to your parents, even in situations that don't directly affect them. So this is the other side of the coin. So originally we said, based on the Gemara, the Rash, but the Maharik, brought down in the Tzitz Eliezer, that there is no obligation to listen to parents if it does not directly affect their lives. However, here is the other side of the argument. Tnu Rabbanan, Ezehu Mora. What is the definition of Mora? That we said in the very first shiur that we talked about, that there are five mitzvot that are associated with Kibud Avaim: to respect our parents, and the second is to fear our parents. So here we are trying to explain, Ezehu Mora, what is Mora? What is fear of our parents? Velo soter etzvarav, that you shouldn't contradict their words. Nir'eh, we can see, dechol davar she mitzavelo aviv, af bedavar she im aviv shum hana'a mimenu. So in everything that your parent commands you, even if they do not get any direct pleasure from it, she'inu bechlal kibud, this does not fall under kibud. Afilu hachi im ein laben shum hefseid mamuno, zehu bechlal Mora. But the Sefer HaMikneh says, if there is not a great loss of money, so if we are in a situation where it doesn't affect the father, so the father, it's not really going to affect his life, but he has a strong opinion about something that his son should do, and it won't cost the son a lot of money if he fulfills what the father wants him to do, Zehu Bechlal Mora, then this would fall under his obligation based on Mora Av Ve'im. She'im Lo Yishmalo, that if he does not listen to him, have a kisosar es divarav. This is as if he is going against his word. The ayin biyoradeya sof siman reishmem behaga. If we look in the Ramah, im ha'av mocheba ben, lisa izo isha sheikh botzbaha ben, in tarich lishmo alo. The Ramah tells us specifically in yoradeya siman reishmem that a father, that if a father does not want a son to marry a specific person, the son is not required to listen to him. Ayin sha mashma diladvarim achirim afal pi she'in la'av hana'a mimenu tzarich lishmo alo. So based on this comment of the Ramah says that if a father wants you to marry a specific person and you do not want to marry that person, you do not need to listen. However, we can conclude based on this that in every other situation, if your father had an opinion, you would have to listen to it, or else it would be considered soser devarav, that you are going against his words, which falls under mora av ve'im. So we have veered slightly out of kibud ave'im, but we're not saying you're out of here scot-free. You still would have violated the obligation to not, it's like a sort of twisted thing here. There is an obligation to not contradict your parents' words, which technically means there's an obligation to listen to your parents. Yes, Miriam Rifka.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I was wondering, at the very beginning, we learned about Dama ben Nesina, who didn't want to wake up his father, but he did have a monetary loss. So I was curious why, the Sefer HaMikneh was saying here that it's, you have to listen to them unless there would be a monetary loss. But then why would the Gemara use him as a good example of someone of how far Kibud Avaim should go if we don't paskin like that? We don't say that's a good thing.
Okay, yeah. So we asked that question, actually, I believe it was last week. Yeah, we asked that. Oh, it's okay. If you didn't catch up on last week, it's okay. We asked that question because we talked about who does the expense of Kibud Avaim fall on? that is someone obligated to give up their money for Kibbutz Arba'im? And the conclusion is no, that the expense of Kibbutz Arba'im is meant to fall on the parents if the parents have the money. In a typical regular situation, parents are required to monetarily support themselves. So then the question is asked, but what about Dema ben Nisina? And it was saying there seemed to have been the understanding that his father would not have wanted him to wake him up, that he was not just really sad. Like, he wouldn't have naturally lost money for Kibbutz Arba'im. Like, that was not his requirement. But it seemed to be that there was a specific, like, criteria in that situation that led him to believe that he really should sacrifice in this situation.
Okay, got it.
He asked it there.
Sorry about that.
Nope, no problem at all. Okay, so the Chazon Ish, though, then brings up a very interesting idea, because here we have sort of like the two sides of the coin. There's the one side of the coin that you don't need to listen to your parents. It doesn't affect their life. There is the other side, which is that it's not kibud avaim, because it's not really directly affecting their kibud, but it is mora avaim, because by not listening to them, you will be contradicting their words. The Chazon Ish here, though, adds in an interesting other factor. And the Chazon Ish says, when there is no direct impact on the father, there is no reason for the son to listen to the father. Based on our Gemara in Yevamos, he's quoting all the sources that we already looked at. The Mihu Kasha, Dehakatu Tosos Bekedushin Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Bet, Dibur Hamatzil Rabbi Tarfon, Bishem Yerushalmi. That fulfilling the will of your parents is part of kibud. And if the father has a specific will for his child, and it will cause pain and trouble to the parent when the child marries a specific person, how would we possibly say that this doesn't fall under Mora, that this is going to cause your father distress? And this is, how can we say that this is not going to be so Saras Devar, of going against his word? The Lama Devarze, call me Sosar Devar of Bahakra at Hada at Bilvan. The Hagrasiim de Barashba Mashma de Dafka Leinian de Chiat Lav. Lo chashiva seishal Torah ve'efshar de kavanat harash ba de mikol makom hu chiyuv de oraita shaharei ratzon haTorah. The Chazon Ish concludes here, and he says, "How could we possibly say that this doesn't fall under kibud avaim? We would say that it may not fall under directly kibud avaim, but the Chazon Ish says that this falls under ratzon haTorah, which is an entire topic in and of itself. My husband's been investigating ratzon haTorah, so I feel like I've been hearing this a little bit like on the side of my head, and then I read it today. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's following me everywhere. So the idea of ratzon haTorah, that there is an idea of the will of the Torah, that what is the ultimate goal the Torah wants us to reach by fulfilling a certain commandment? So as we said, if the ultimate goal is going to be to develop this respect for our parents, then we are not going to be so medayik in the fact that that listening to our parents' will doesn't technically feed them or clothe them or give them to drink. Rather, we are going to say this is part of Ratzon HaTorah in the area of Kibbutz Arba'im, that the Torah wants us to respect our parents wholeheartedly and definitely listening to them in a regular situation. But Kal v'chomer in a situation that if we don't listen, it will cause them pain and distress, then of course we would be obligated to fulfill the will of our parents. The Yalkut Yosef in the next two sources 33 and 34, is going to conclude this discussion for us. The Yalkut Yosef is sort of going to wrap it all up. So he says, Nichleku haposkim, the poskim are divided on this. Im shayachat mitzvah kibud avaim, bidvar she'inu litzorach to'elato v'hana'ato shel ha'av. There is this debate in a situation where there doesn't seem to be a clear impact on the life of the parents. They just have an opinion about something that simply affects the child. V'kigon she'omer lo, al tekna sadeh ploni, they tell you don't buy that field, or buy a ploni, don't buy that house. So we are debating, as we have been this throughout the entire shir, is this a situation of kibud avaim? V'da'a rov ha-poskim, and the opinion of the majority of poskim, she'im bazeh mitzvah kibud avaim, this is not a part of the fulfillment of mitzvah of kibud avaim. V'chein ikar ledina, and this is what we conclude la halacha. In haben chayav lishmo la aviv, and the child is not required to listen to their father, but specifically in a situation where there is pain, o shehadavar kashelo, and there is trouble, like it is difficult for the child, like specifically in a situation where the child doesn't want to listen to their parent. Aval bistam, however, lo yimna milkayim tzivoy aviv, you shouldn't purposely hold yourself back from fulfilling your parent's will. As in the original situation where your mother says, put on your coat, and you say, I don't want to put on my coat. The idea should be that if your mother wants you to do something and it is not negatively affecting you, that your will should be to fulfill the will of your parents. That if it's really not going to bother you, then you should put on your coat in order to make your mother happy. And a righteous person, you should want to fulfill their will. And we can say in a situation when you are in front of them and you are directly opposing them, so it's not just not fulfilling their will, but rather you are directly contradicting them in front of them, that would be a case of Soser Devarim, and that would fall under Mora Kibud Avayim. So the Yalkut Yosef really concluded it into different parts. On a most basic level, lehalacha, you are not obligated to fulfill the will of your parents if it doesn't affect them. So they are telling you what to buy, what not to buy, where to go, where not to go, and there is no impact on their life. You are not obligated in Kibud Avayim in that situation. However, he says that you should want to fulfill the will of your parents if it is at all possible. If it's not affecting you negatively, it makes no difference in your life either, then you should listen to your parents. You should want to listen to them and respect them. However, he concludes, if you are in front of them and it comes into a situation of a debate, you need to be very careful there, because we are no longer in the realm of Kibud Avayim, but we are in the realm of Mora Avayim, that we are talking about the isser of contradicting your parents in front of them. And that you definitely need to be mindful of, because going against their word in that situation would be falling under the isser of Soser Devarim, of going against their word. In source 34, the Yalkut Yosef continues, Yesh mi she'omer de'im ha'av tziva et ha'ben le'izo davar, she'ein la'av hana'a yeshira mimenu, if this father is commanding the son in something that does not have direct impact on him, aval im ha'ben lo ki'im tzivoy ha'av yihye la'av tza'ar gadol. So now we are in a situation where the father says, I really don't want you to go to that party. And it's going to cause the father tremendous sa'ar, tremendous distress, if the son does not listen to him. So if you are in a situation where you are going to cause your parent great distress, great harm, then everyone agrees that in that situation, it would fall under Kibud Avayim. However, he says, I want to be honest, in that situation, there are still some that would say it's not really impacting the father's life, and therefore it can't be a fulfillment of Kibud Avayim v'ner el hachmir kisvara rishona. But it is ra'oi, it is appropriate to be machmir like the first opinion. So now the Sefer Chutchani in the Kuntres Kibud Avayim, we are in source number 35, is going to give us a number of practical examples, is going to really tie it together for us. And just to be mindful, the reason we're doing so much wrapping up here is because we are completing the first section of Kibud Avayim. So this is sort of wrapping up the first section. So that's why there's so much summarization at the end. So we are in source number 35. Ikar mitzvah Kibud Avayim hu shebidvarim sheyish bahem hana'a v'kibud la'aviv le'imo. The essence of Kibud Avayim is with things that will directly affect the hana'a, the enjoyment, and the pleasure of the father and mother. So as we've said many, many times, giving them to eat, giving them to drink, things that will directly add enjoyment and pleasure to the parents' lives. And the basic obligation in Mora Avayim is that you shouldn't contradict them, you shouldn't go against their words, you shouldn't sit in their place, and everything that comes out of this. And we will discuss Mora Avayim more later on. We are in bet, but rather in things that your father requests from you, And there is no fulfillment of respecting your father in it. Mikol makom im aviv yitzair. If your father is going to be distressed, she'in haben osek hitzivoy, that his son is not listening to him. Tzarich haben la'asu kirtzon aviv. Then the son has to listen to the father. Kedisha lo l'tzaro v'kidila halan. V'lachin chayavim haben v'bat la'asu v'lekayim et tzivoy et horehem. They must listen to their parents' words. Af she'yish bahem tircha v'koshi. Even if it's annoying for the kids, like the kid is then going to have to carry their coat through the whole mall, which is what they were trying to explain to their mother, was going to be annoying to begin with. They just wanted to leave their coat at home. But it's going to be annoying for the kid. But if they don't do it, their mother is going to be sitting at home worrying that they're getting pneumonia. She'in haben osek hitzivoy, tzarich haben la'asot kirtzon aviv, kedei shelo tzaro v'kidela halan. So it is not really about fulfilling their will when it doesn't affect their life. Rather, it's about not causing them pain, which we've discussed previously, is always a factor, is what is going to distress your parents. V'lachin chayavim haben v'habat la'asot v'lekayim etzivoy horehem. I'm sorry, we went back a little bit. V'kigon im aviv mitzavehu liknot izo chafit mimakom mirachuk, v'hayamim yimei kor v'kshamim u'yamim chamim me'ur, v'lefum tzar agra. So we say if you are in a situation where a parent wants you to do something really annoying, like it is going to help them, but they want you to get like a drink from the farthest store and it's really hot outside or it's really cold outside. We say that the child, because it is going to add direct impact to the parents' lives, it is going to give them what they want, then the child should be willing to put in that effort. V'lefum tzar agron, as Chazal tell us, that the more effort you put in, the greater the reward. Ela im kin mevakish haben me'aviv reshut letchut et kiyum habakasha lizman acher. But you are allowed in that situation to ask your father, can I possibly wait until the blizzard is over to go get you that thing from that store? V'aviv maskim lekach, and your father should agree to this. V'cholze, dafka k'shaviv tzudik b'bakashato. We have to give the caveat that all of these halachot that we just discussed are in a situation where the father is giving an appropriate request, that it is something that makes sense. V'gam hadrisha hagvani, and arriving at it makes sense. Like everything about it is logical and understandable. Aval im eino kein, but rather if a father is asking something that is unreasonable, im bazem mishum kibud v'mora avaim, then there is no fulfillment in mora and kibud avaim. So if a father says to a child, I really want you to go and live in Nigeria. I've always wanted to have a child that lived in Nigeria. If you're wondering why I thought of Nigeria, it's because Mishpacha magazine had an article about the Jews of Nigeria. So that was on the top of my mind. But if your father says, I want you to go live in Nigeria, and the child is like, what are you talking about? I have a family here. I have a job here. I don't speak whatever language they speak in Nigeria. I am not going to live in Nigeria. That would not even be the situation we're talking about here because it's so unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense. And the father says, what? This is my final wish. I just want to have a child that lives there. This is still unreasonable and he cannot ask you of this. This is the father, as I like the way he states this. He says, this is the father causing themselves their own distress. This is not the child bringing distress to the parents. This is the parents' own problem. Ben shehorav dorshim mimenu shelo yilech lishon b'shal mu'ucharat b'layla mipnei b'riyato v'chizak gufo. It gives a practical scenario where a parent does not want their child to go to sleep late because they believe that their child needs more sleep. V'kol shekin sheyachol l'kiyum tefilat shachris, because they want him to be able to wake up for shachris in the morning. Kivan shedrisha zot zodeket v'nechona tzarich haben la'asot k'tzivoy horav. A son would need to listen to his father, would need to go to sleep early. It then continues, Avivo emosha dorshim mibanav shelo yishev mishmar. But if the son says, but ma, there's a really amazing Thursday night learning program that I want to go to. How can you make me miss out on Lima Torah? How can you let me miss out from learning? You're just making me go to sleep. Mipnei shechoshishim libriyato, because they're worried about his health. V'im chashash hazenachon. If this is really a worry, that he's really going to stay up very late, and this is not someone who does well with lack of sleep, then the parents are correct, and the child, v'tzarich haben la'asot kirton horav. Then, even though this doesn't affect the life of the parents, this really only affects the life of the child, they are doing it for his health, he would then have to listen to them. Im shem mishpachat horim hu aruch umisubach v'haben rutzel lekatzro ulishanato v'aviv mochebo nir esheyich sad itzor bazeh. One interesting scenario that he brings up here, he says, if there is a situation where the parents have a very long last name, and the child wants to shorten the name in order to make it easier for himself, but the parents are very insulted by this, that the parents say, this is our name, how can you possibly change our name? Even though you can say, what does it affect their life? It only affects the child's life. He says in there, there may possibly be a different iser there. Shebazehu mar'eh ki'ilu hu eino hemshech ha-shalshalet ha-mishpachti, v'zeh davar shevadai mit'eret ha-horim. This may seem like he is separating himself from the mesorah of the family, from the lineage of the family, and that would definitely bring tsar and pain to the parents, and therefore he would not be allowed to do so. Let me pause here just before the last source. The last source is like a nice wrap up. So I see we have a question in the chat. What if the parent advises a child to take a more stringent view of a mitzvah as the child was raised? But the child has grown up now and wants to please his spouse doing the mitzvah in a lenient way for shalom bias. I think that that would be a situation that the parent has no, it's not, this is exactly what we're talking about, that the parent, it's not affecting their life. Rather, it's only affecting the child's life. And especially when there is a matter of shalom bias, and there is a matter of both opinions are lahalacha, that one is just a leniency and one is a stringency. If the spouse, the parents still are not able to tell their child that he must do X, Y, and Z. Because as we said, listening to the parents in a situation that it's not going to cause them a tremendous amount of tsar and does not affect their life is not a fulfillment of kibbutz avaim. So let's say in this situation, the child always grew up and the child in their house was makbid on Chalav Yisrael. They only ate Chalav Yisrael. And now the child gets married and his wife's favorite food is Häagen-Dazs ice cream. All she needs to have in her house is Chalav Stam Häagen-Dazs ice cream. In that situation, we're not talking about a matter of keeping halacha and not keeping halacha. We are talking about a chumrah and a it's not even a leniency. It's just another approach. In that situation, we would definitely say that the son does not have to listen to his parents in that situation because it's not affecting their life, assuming this would not cause them a tremendous amount of tsa'ar, a tremendous amount of pain. That is exactly the scenario we're talking about, that the son would be able to decide his own approach within halacha. Okay, does that answer the question? No, I don't.
Yeah, that answers the question.
Okay, perfect. So now to wrap up, the final source is a piece from the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, who is talking about what is it that truly brings the greatest honor to parents? Because I think as all of us are thinking, whether we're thinking about it from a child perspective or whether we're thinking about it from a parenting perspective, we most definitely would feel disrespected if our child does not listen to our word. And I think it's interesting that we just discussed a matter of halacha, because think about, you raised your child a specific way and you sometimes want their life to look a certain way and you want them to follow in the path that you laid for them. And sometimes children decide to go in a different way. And what we're saying is la halacha, they're allowed to do that, that they are allowed to decide the way that they want their life to look. But how can you not feel disrespected in that? So what the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch here is coming to tell us is what truly, if we put aside some of our personal biases and our ego, and we really focus at what is at the core of kibbutz avaim, that's when we recognize what true honor is. So that's what the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is telling us here. Misha hu rotzeh be'emet l'chabed et aviv et imo. One who genuinely wants to respect his mother and his father, ya'asok b'torah u'b'ma'asim tovim, should engage in Torah and ma'asim tovim. Shezehu ha'kabur ha'gadol ha'avot. This is the greatest respect that you can give to parents. She'omrim habriot, ashrei la'avim shegidlo ben kazeh. Because everyone will look at the parents, they will say, how incredible that you raised a child like this. Avalim ein haben holech b'derech hayashar, harei avotav yas'u cherpa alav, v'hu mevayesh otam v'busha she'en gedola mimeno. However, if they leave the ways of Torah and mitzvot, there's a tremendous amount of guilt for the parents. There is a tremendous amount of busha, possible embarrassment that comes upon the parents. And so therefore, a father who wants to truly have pity on his child, Yasopa Torah B'Masim Tovim, the father will engage in Torah Masim Tovim, V'yehi Noach L'Shamayim V'Noach L'Briot. It will be great for Hashem. It will be great for all of the other people. V'yitchabdu Banav Bo. And his children will be respected through this. Aval mi she'inu holeich b'derech ha'yashar. But someone who doesn't go on the straight path, gamzar o migune acharav, his children will follow after him in this tradition. V'chim v'iyon avot, banav mitim k'dechtiv pukin avot avot al banim, v'in achzario k'dola mizo. We do believe that there is ramification on future generations for what the parents do, and therefore there is no greater cruelty than setting your offspring up for failure by not following in the ways of Torah and mitzvot. Shehu gorim v'chetav sheyamutu banav ve'in lecha merachim al banav yuter min hatzadik kizchuto omed la'elef tor. And when the parents act in a way that they want their children to follow and that will bring them zuchuyo, this is the greatest kindness that a parent can give to the child. So what is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch saying here? If we take away the specifics of you should do Torah and mitzvot so that your kids do Torah and mitzvot and your kids should do Torah and mitzvot because then you will end up being praised. What they are saying here is sometimes you will try to tell your child a specific thing. I want you to buy this house. I want you to have this job. I want you to marry this kind of spouse because it fits the image that you envision for your child. But when we put that aside and we go to the basic values that we are trying to impart in our child, we can recognize that sometimes they can go in their own path. But if those values are strong, then we will end up being respected through them. That we will produce a child that if we are true to our values, that we give over values rather than our own personal inclinations and opinions, we are going to develop great children who are going to eventually bring us kavod. That they may have not listened to us in that moment and done exactly what we wanted them to do and how we wanted them to lead their life and how we wanted them to look and how we wanted them to talk. But if we have imparted the true values of Torah and mitzvot, then that is ultimately what's going to shine through. That I think it is a very common phenomenon. For example, if, as Deanna brought up, there are children and parents that end up at different religious levels. I'm thinking specifically of situations where perhaps the child flipped out and appears to be more religious than their parents, in whatever sense that means. Sometimes there's this feeling of they've gone against me. They have not followed in my ways. I have taught them to be one way, and now they seem to be rejecting everything I taught them. But I think what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is bringing us to focus on is that truly they're taking the values that you gave them of Torah and mitzvot, and they're running with it. That it's not really them rejecting what you said, but rather embracing it, though it may appear to be different on the outside. Internally, it is really the same. So I think to conclude this first unit on Ki Brava Im, I think the grand takeaways that we can take away, not only this specific share, we went away with our takeaways already, which is that a child does not have an obligation to listen to their parents and based on Ki Brava Im in a situation that doesn't directly affect the lives of the parents. But on a more broad level, what can we take away from this first unit on Ki Brava Im? We can take away that we do have a basic obligation of feeding our parents, clothing our parents, giving them the clothing they need, dressing our parents. But it doesn't end there. And there are so many subjective elements that take into account the human nature of the relationship that we are dealing with. So as we move on now, the next section is going to have a few more specific topics. I can tell you in a second. The next section talks about standing for one's parents, fearing avim, honoring one's parents after their death, and then which parent takes precedence. So there are slightly more specific situations. So as we go into there, we can remember what we have built up about Ki Brava Im so far, that there are black and white, clear halachot, but with each one comes an element of nuance and how it's going to be applied in this very delicate interpersonal relationship.